The accounts of the creation of the world in the opening verses in the Bible are well known to most of us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. On the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light." And we know that there was light. And then on the fourth day of creation, God said, "Let there be lights," plural. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. I'm not sure we realize that these are references to the sun and to the moon. So the first thing that God created was light. And you know, when we come to the end times, when we think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think of man's eternal state in heaven, when we come to the end times in the New Jerusalem, there is, as the Bible tells us, no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. We cannot live without light. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." As we think of light, we might think of different things and different relationships. And some have suggested that the first thing we might think of as we think of light, that light shatters darkness. Light scatters the darkness. You know, when there is light, there is no darkness. If you've ever been in a room or in a cave, we're totally devoid of light. You know, in a sense, how frightening that situation can be. Complete darkness, it's like you almost can feel it. It deters even the slightest movement. I may have shared with you before how many years ago I was in New Mexico in the United States, and group of us, four of us, just finished uni and decided to go and visit Carlsbad Caverns. And you enter on the ground level and gradually you go down, 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 down. At a certain place, the tour guide said, "All right, here are benches. We want all of you to sit down." And then he went on to explain that in just a few moments, he was going to turn off the lights. And he says, "Now when I turn off the lights, there will be total darkness. We are far enough away from the entrance. No light is coming through here at all." He says, "Just sit there quietly." Well, he turned the lights off, and unfortunately some did not sit quietly, and there was a lot of giggling going on. But it was, as you say, pitch dark. You could not see a thing. So move your hand in front of you. You know, you might as well not, because you cannot see anything at all. But in some ways, it's almost like a scary experience. Well, there was probably 50, 60 of us, so we knew we had some company there. But if you would be alone, that would be a very scary experience, to be there in the dark. And it was nice when the tour guide switched the light back on. You know, in a sense, a relief, because now you have light. But in the Bible, as you talk about darkness, scripture, darkness is often a metaphor for sin, for death, for the consequences of sin, and for that matter, everything that is not of God is darkness. On the other hand, light is often a metaphor for redemption, for a spiritual awakening, for goodness, for peace, for all that is of God. I think of verses like John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man loves darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. But isn't it true? Light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. No criminal is going to come out when it's bright light and everybody can see what they're doing. They wait till it's dark. Then they go out. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be exposed. Lest, it says, his deeds should be reproved. Now we might think of verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5, where Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day, the day when Christ comes again, should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." As Christians, we are children of light. We are not of the darkness. And thank God for that. Because darkness is indicative of sin. In 1 John chapter 1 also, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In him is light. The light scatters the darkness." An old parable that's been around for many years, kind of a mythological type of story. We know it's not true. But, one time a cave and the sun were talking to each other. And the cave said, "I've never seen light." And the sun said, "I've never seen darkness." So the sun said to the cave, "Why don't you come up here and see light?" And the cave went up. "Now I see what light is. Why don't you come down and see darkness?" And the sun went down into the cave and said, "Where is the darkness?" Light scatters darkness. And so Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So as light in the world, he scatters darkness. But light also gives warmth. And somewhat of these interesting little bits of information that I learned as I prepared for this message. And that is that one small candle, when it's properly shielded, properly reflected, can raise the temperature in an Eskimo igloo from below freezing to over 7 degrees Celsius. Now, you would say 7 degrees, that's cold. But if you think of going below freezing, that's below zero, like minus 1, and raises it to plus 7, that is a lot. One small candle can give out that much heat. So, light also gives warmth. And in the Bible, warmth is often equated with the comfort that God provides to those who are grieving, to those who are rejected, to those who are oppressed. In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 and 20, God says this, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting life, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended, because God has provided the light, and with the light comes the warmth and the comfort that are needed. Thirdly, light gives direction, or light, we might say, gives guidance. The verse that you automatically probably think of first is Psalm 119 in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet. On a dark night, it's like carrying a torch. And it lights up just one step at a time. Thy word, the word of God, a lamp to my feet. So I can see one step at a time. For God to lead me. But that word is also a light unto my path. Right during the daytime, the sun would be shining, and we can see way off into the distance. So God's word guides us, gives us direction, so that we can see long range, but see also one step at a time, as God guides us. A story is told of a grandfather who took his little grandson for a walk in the woods. As they were walking along, they stopped. And Grandpa asked the grandson the question. He said, "Do you know where we are?" And the boy looked up and said, "No." And Grandpa then asked, "Do you know where we are going?" "No." "Well," said Grandpa, "I guess then that you are lost." And the boy smiled at his grandpa and said, "No, I'm not lost. I'm with you." How true. When we're with the Father, we're never lost, are we? We have a word that gives us direction. We have a word that gives us light. The psalmist, well, Psalm 119 we had just now, Psalm 43. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Send out thy light and thy truth. That light and that truth will lead us, will give us direction, will show us how we should live our life as Christians. And then fourthly, light also gives life. Light is necessary for life itself. Light sets our biological clocks. I always get up earlier in summer than I do in winter because it gets light earlier. You know, my biological clock, when it gets light, I wake up. If I want to wake up early in bed, I have to set the alarm clock. But if I don't set the alarm clock, I wake up basically when it gets light. You know, that's the thing with light. Light triggers in our brains the sensations of color. Light supplies the energy for things to grow. Have you ever tried to grow things without light? Doesn't work, does it? I guess maybe except the mushrooms, they grow in the dark, is it? But things need light to grow. There can be no life without light. In Him, John tells us, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. Life. Light. They go together. There can be no life without life, light. And the Lord Jesus Christ was life, and that life was the light of man. And so we see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For that's the only way that there can be ultimately life, eternal life, through the light that shines into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. But it's interesting because not only did he say, I am the light of the world, he also said, ye are the light of the world. Now he said that in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking to his disciples, said, ye are the light of the world. And so some have asked, is there a contradiction then in the Bible? I am the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. How can both be true? But both can be true. I mentioned earlier the creation account that God made the greater light to be in the sky by day and the lesser light to be there at night. The sun and the moon. The sun has light in itself. The moon does not. The moon simply reflects the light of the sun. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the great light. He is the light of the world. But as he shines forth his light, as Christians we are to reflect that light. We are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you think of that light, one pastor, I don't know who he was, but he made an acrostic on the word light, emphasizing that we are to be lights in this dark world. And he began with the letter L. And he said, L, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Well, probably should go back to verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus said, well, the first commandment of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, if we are to be lights in the world, then we as believers must love our neighbor as ourselves. By the way, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. Keep that in mind. Not a suggestion. It's a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then the I, L-I, imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. You are Christ's representative. You're here on behalf of Jesus to represent what he is all about. Think of this. You may be the only Christian that people know. You may be the only Christian in your place of work. You may be the only Christian for young people where you're studying. You know, and people are going to judge the Christian faith by you and me. So we need to realize that. We are to be imitators of Christ. And if people cannot see Christ shining through us, they'll never find him. And without Christ, of course, there's no salvation. Without Christ, there is no eternal life. Without Christ, there is a hopeless end. But with Christ, that endless hope. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Be followers, that is, imitators of God as dear children. And so we are to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Imitate Christ. Well, the next letter in the word life is the G. Get to know other people. Get to know others. Very nice verse in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A verse that I think some of you may know. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. I remember reading about a guy who has been in a church for many years, and he got sick, went to the hospital, and the pastor went to visit him, and he complained to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, how come? You know, you're the only one that has visited me. I thought Christians were supposed to visit when I was in the hospital, but nobody's come to see me except you." And the pastor asked him, "How many people did you visit in the hospital?" "Oh, I never thought of it in that way." Well, we've got to start thinking of it in that way. You know, first of all, don't tell the pastor he doesn't even know that you're sick. All right? So, you know, we've got to let people know some of these things. But we get to know other people. If you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. Very simple. You know, if you keep everybody no, 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 then you're not going to have many friends. Well, if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. So, to be a shining light to the unsaved, we must show ourselves friendly and stick closer even than a brother or sister. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Usually make a reference there to the Lord. You know, he sticks closer than a brother. But at the same token, we need to realize that. You know, that we need to have a friend who is closer than a brother, closer than a sister. We need to get to know them. Spend time by visiting them. Writing letters to them. Maybe watching their house while they go on holiday. We had a situation developed where we live just this past week. And in the middle of the night, getting up, and could hear the sound of water running. Oh, is it from our house or what? Well, I was going to go out in the middle of the night, so I got up the next morning and I said, "Better go and check." And I could tell it was coming from the neighbor's house. Rang the doorbell, nobody home. You know, and I said, "I better get some help." So I called Deacon Jimmy, and he came over, and the two of us, we listened to it, and we went over to their house. We finally shut off their water main. And then we left a note on the gate. But they used the automatic garage door, so they never saw the note. But pretty soon they came knocking on the door. "Did you turn our water off? We saw your picture on our closed circuit TV." They had a camera, you know, and they had a break-in not too long ago, so they installed some cameras there. So they recognized my face on the camera. And they explained why we had turned the water off, that we had left a note, and they went to look, they did find the note, you know, eventually. But, you know, they were very grateful. You know, we didn't know, was the water running inside their house or not? You know, if it was, there was no water running inside the house. The problem was with the water heater, but they got somebody out, they got it fixed. But, you know, it's something where we get to know people and, you know, spend time with them, watching out for each other. But that's part of that, being light. To love your neighbor as yourself, to imitate Christ, to get to know your neighbor. Well, we don't know them real well, but we have met them before. We've invited them over for afternoon tea. We do see them occasionally, have a little chat with them. But you know, these are the kind of things to get to know others. if he really wants to be like. Well, the next letter is the letter H, isn't it? L-I-G-H-T. H stands for hospitality. Hospitality. That is, again, like I said, this unknown pastor that made up this acrostic. And in Bible times, hospitality was not merely a gracious act, but actually a necessity. Strangers were to be treated as guests, and the homeowner was expected not only to house them, but also to feed them and to protect them. There are a number of verses in the Bible, but the classic example of that, of course, is Genesis chapter 18 with Abraham. When Abraham sits at the end of the day, he sits there in the tent door, and he sees three people walking towards the tent. Immediately gets up, welcomes them. Come, have a seat, you know, and quickly calls Sarah, go make some dinner for them. And she gets busy cooking, and Abraham talks to these three men, two angels and the Lord. The two angels go off to Sodom and Gomorrah to tell Lot the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. But the Lord stays behind. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? No, said the Lord, I will tell him. And he told him, Lord, will you destroy the city if there are 50 righteous? No, said the Lord, I will not destroy. What about 45? I will not destroy. 40, 30, 20, 10? No, I will not destroy it for 10 righteous. But we know that there were not even 10 righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But you know, Abraham entertained angels. That's why Hebrews says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have thereby entertained angels unawares. Referring back to Abraham. So hospitality, you know, to look after those. Hospitality is known ultimately as a love of strangers. And we must get into the ministry, and it's a ministry, of graciously receiving others into our homes for a meal. Invite them over. Make them always feel the warmth of welcome. There are some other verses in the Bible that help our help in this, you know, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. As Christians, we are to be given to hospitality. And then there's Hebrews 13 verse 2, which is the verse that some have entertained angels unawares. But there is to be hospitality. And then L-I-G-H-T. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. You know, imagine what your life would be like today if someone had not taken the time to tell you about Jesus. I remember that day. I may share that some other time in more detail. But I remember that day when somebody sat down and led me to the Lord. You know, some of these things we don't forget. But can you imagine what our lives would be like if somebody had not taken the time to tell you about Jesus? You probably remember who it was. You probably have fond memories of that occasion. And somebody took the time to tell you about Jesus. You know, every believer shares the privilege and the responsibility of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is not only Jesus who said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, ye are the light of the world. And if we are light of the world, we're obviously not like the sun. We're like the moon, reflecting the light, reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we reflect him, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to imitate Christ, to be Christ-like. We are to get to know other people. We are to be hospitable. And we are to tell other people about Jesus. L-I-G-H-T. Good acrostic to keep in mind. These are five ways that we can be a light to illumine a world that is crumbling in the darkness. The story is told of a lighthouse keeper. He worked on a rocky stretch of coastline. It was a number of years ago, before electric lights. And he had an oil lamp in his lighthouse. And he received a new supply of oil every month to keep the light burning. Now, he was obviously not far from the shore, because that's where lighthouses are needed. And he had frequently guests, people that came to visit him, people that might be walking around, coming across the lighthouse, as though they were there visiting. And one night, a woman from a nearby village came to him and asked for some oil to keep her family warm. And then another time, the father asked for some oil to use in his lamp. And then another needed some to lubricate a wheel. Now all the requests seem very legitimate to the lighthouse keeper. You know, these people do need that. And so he said, here's a little bit of oil for you. Here's a little bit of oil for you. He granted all their requests. But towards the end of the month, he noticed that the supply of oil was getting very low. And soon, the oil was all gone, and the light went out. That night, several ships were wrecked, and lives were lost. The authorities started an investigation. Now, the man was very repentant. To his excuses and pleading, the investigators replied, you are given the oil for one purpose, and that is to keep that light burning. To keep the light burning. Jesus is the great light of the world. You and I are also lights in this dark world. The Lord Jesus Christ is, as John puts it, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We are obviously lesser lights, but we are not to waste our light. Let your light shine brightly, that all people may see and come to the true light, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. The one who said, I am the light of the world. The light even in heaven, as there will be no need of the sun or of the moon, for the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. For indeed he is the light of the world. But Father, the Lord Jesus Christ also said, ye are the light of the world. May we remember that we are laborers together with thee. We may be lesser lights, but nevertheless, we are lights. May we let our light shine for thee, as we love our neighbor as ourselves, as we imitate Christ, as we get to know others so that we can share Christ with them, as we show hospitality, a love of strangers, and as we tell them about Jesus. We thank thee that the light of the world is Jesus. But Lord, help us to realize that we too are light in this dark world. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, again, 200.